Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 53, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, and the quiet waters by. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 53. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew, chapter 28. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we try to draw nigh to Thee, and we live with our children in the end of the world. And Thou hast also appeared in the end of the world. O Lord, Thou knowest all that has taken place, not only in this world, but also in the hearts of Thy own disciples. And Thou knowest what was necessary for the salvation of Thy people. Then there was a time that they did mourn. But there was also a day wherein they were given to rejoice. And that mourning that endured but for a night, and joy did come in the morning. And Thou knowest each one of Thy people even to the end of time. It is a work that is unchangeable because Thou art unchangeable. And Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And with Thy disciples, it all had to come into death. It all had to be laid in the grave. All their hope and all their expectation, because Thou didst lie in the grave. But there came a day in which Thou didst restore everything, and then to such a magnitude that Thou in such a surprising way didst give Thy people so to rejoice. Lord, it is a rejoicing that is only by beginning here upon this world. And there is much mourning in the world. And there is much mourning and sorrow and weeping also in the life of Thy own children. So that sometimes, and then it seems also to our children, to our young people, that there is no happiness in them. But Lord, thou knowest it is their own fault, left the days without number. And yet thou knowest that which dwells within their hearts. O, thou dost give, even from that moment of that new birth, that joy of thy salvation, and that it may be experienced more or less by times and moments in the life of thy people. And so we may in this morning hour, on thy holy day, which is every Sabbath again a testimony of thy resurrection from the dead, but in a special way in this morning, and when it is set aside by us to commemorate thy resurrection. Lord, we have heard it upon in the week that is gone by, that thou hast testified as the Son of God, it is finished. For a people who could not finish it. And now that same people may hear the testimony not only of the Son, but may hear the testimony of the Father in resurrecting His Son again from the dead. A testimony of thy satisfaction, and that every jot and tittle of that law has been accomplished, that the punishment that has been completely paid, and that life has been brought in by the perfect obedience of thy law, so that justice has now come on the side of thy Son and of thy church. Or it has stricken him, and now it cannot but release him. When that price is so fully paid, O, thou knowest thy church in the midst of this world, and that which does grieve their heart, and all the impossibility of entering in again, which has become the desire of their soul, from the moment of that new birth, O, to be reconciled unto my Maker, and to be brought again into His blessed favor and communion. Oh, the increasing difficulties, the increasing perplexities, and the increasing impossibilities, until that people are brought so to an end that there is no way anymore. O Lord, how their eyes do need to be opened. And therefore we beseech Thee in this morning by the power and now of Thy Holy Spirit, that there may be a testimony not only of the Son and of the Father, but a testimony of the Holy Ghost. O, to bring it all into the heart of that afflicted and poor people, that they may be given to trust in the name of the Lord, and that their eyes may go open for the first or by renewal, and that there may be that joy experienced in this day as it was in the life and in the heart of thy disciples on that Easter morning. Oh, how many things needed to be taught to them. And thou didst do it thyself, beginning at Moses and the prophets, to expound unto them all things concerning thyself. Oh, how thou didst open their eyes, and then they may see. Oh, Lord, open our eyes too, that we may see, and that the joy of thy salvation may be experienced in the midst of us as a congregation,
and that the mouths of thy children may go open in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, and in the midst of us as congregations, as denomination, and in our families, that our children, that our young people, and may by times hear something in the way of freedom when thou dost open thy mouth in the life of thy church, then it is necessary that thou comes again, that thou dost visit them, and that thou dost open their eyes by renewal. Be with all that are in distress for the need of their soul. Lord, when thou dost begin, thou wilt also bring it to an end, because thou art the Alpha and thou art the Omega, and they cannot see it, and it gets worse and worse, but thou wilt finish perfectly what thou hast for them undertaken. Oh, do it for thy name's sake. And look upon us young and old together, those that are not able to be with us. Remember those in the nursing home, and all those that may have to be confined in this day to their own homes. Wilt thou supply for any that are not able to be with us, and all that have no desire? Lord, wilt thou plant it in their hearts? Oh, could it be even in a common way, that they may be brought again, and that thy word may be a powerful and effectual? Remember, thou husbands and wives, oh, do give love, Lord, for one another, and do restore all that may be broken down. Remember, children, oh, that thou may give what is necessary to us as parents and to them as children, our young people. We are to gather in thy house, all together, and we are commanded to bring thy word, and Lord, thou hast not to this day shut our mouth, though we deserve it, because thou knowest all our heart. But Lord, thou art ever good and faithful. Could it please thee, we ask in this morning, to help us again, but above all, use it, Lord. Use it for the sake of this one or that one, and thou who hast promised to be as our mouth, wilt thou so prove thyself this day, when this one or that one might hear a word from thee, and that could not let it go anymore, when the heart may be pricked, when it may be quickened from the dead, and that the fruit of thy resurrection in this morning may be experienced by young and old in a most powerful way, then there is one whose presence we cannot miss, and that is thy Spirit. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, undeservedly, that thou would look upon us, and that thou would remember us in thy favor, forgiving all our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 426, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 8. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication, inclines his ear, and gives strength and consolation in life. In death, my heart will seek his face. We announce to the congregation that a male members' meeting will be held tomorrow evening, Monday, April 25 at 7:30 p.m. to deal with the future needs of our branch of Calgary.
Psalter 426, 1, 2, 4, and 8. And he went and hanged himself. What an awful thing, congregation, is despair. That was the portion of Judas, and it is the portion of the damned, of the lost, to all eternity. Little better is a false hope, because that is only a reprieve for a little time. In the end, only to find out that we have deceived ourselves and to be destroyed. But Asaph, he says that he will teach the testimony of the Lord to his children. And why? He says that they may set their hope in God. What a difference between hope and despair. The Apostle Paul, he spoke out in the midst of his enemies. And he said of the hope of the dead. The hope of the dead. The hope of the resurrection of the dead. Am I called into question this day? Thus he says, there is hope for the dead. That is now the hope of Easter. That is a proclamation of the Word of God. Over against what? Over against despair. And this, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider together in this morning hour out of the portion of God's Word, and that we have read together, Matthew 28, and thereof in a special way the fourth verse. Matthew 28, verse 4, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So far the words of our text. Christ's conquest over the enemy, revealed in his resurrection from the dead. First, the power of the enemy. And second, the power of Christ. Christ's conquest over the enemy, revealed in his resurrection, first the power of the enemy, and second the power of Christ. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Enmity. Warfare. Enmity, that is the basis of the warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, even from the very beginning. And we can see that enmity of Satan against Christ himself from when he was very little children. Then what did he do to try to destroy the Lord Jesus when the Lord Jesus was just born into the world? Then you know that the Lord Jesus had to flee. He had to flee into Egypt. And why did he have to flee into Egypt? Because of Satan. It was the enmity of Satan. And Satan would try, through his instruments in this world, to destroy the Lord Jesus, to kill the Lord Jesus. Would the Lord Jesus die? Oh, yes. That is what we have commemorated on Friday, that the Lord Jesus died. But he will not die as a little baby. No, the Satan had so much enmity that he was ready to kill all those little children in order that he may kill the Lord Jesus. It is, however, not only against the Lord Jesus, but it is also against his church. And a church that is going to feel the power of Satan. They are going to feel the greatness of the enmity of the devil. What kind of power does Satan have? What kind of power is felt by the church of God? What kind of power is felt by man in general? That is not a power to compel a person. Satan does not compel us. Satan does not force us. No, we each have yet our own will. And what we do by the force of our own will, our own choice. Where is his power? The power of Satan that is in temptation. Oh, how powerful was the first temptation to Adam, to Eve. So powerful that they fell. And they had the ability to stand. How is it with us? We are their children. We have in ourselves no ability to stand. How is it then with the power of Satan? The power of his temptations. Can we just bring ourselves, leave ourselves in his temptations with our children and expect ourselves to stand? The temptations of Satan are very powerful. And we have in our nature a desire to follow after all that evil wherein Satan would lead us, so that when we are not kept, we will certainly fall. That's a great power. But what does Paul write to the Hebrews? He writes about him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Thus the devil, he has the power of death. How is that so? Does the devil have the power to kill or to make alive? Is not that a power that belongs unto the Lord only? Indeed it is. But Satan, he has a power in the way of sin. Because death is the wages of sin. And so when Satan can tempt man to sin, and man will fall, then man will die. Sin is Satan's element. And Satan has in temptation a very sharp sword. And once he has killed, then we are dead. And there is no giving life unto ourselves or unto our children again. Thus, Satan's power, it is the power of temptation. And through temptation, it is also the power of death. We see somewhat that he has also a certain power in the ways of providence. That he is able, for example, to enter into a man, to possess a man. That he is able even to possess a herd of swine and so on. But the power of the devil is not unlimited. No, it is limited in several ways. It is limited in the first place by his own ability. He is indeed mighty, but he is not almighty. And the power of Satan that is also limited by the Lord. Because he cannot exercise his power outside of the permission of the Lord. Did he not have to ask the Lord, boys and girls, when the Lord would give him permission in the life of Job? And when the Lord said only so far, then Satan was not allowed, permitted to go one step further. And yet that power of the devil that is going to be experienced by his church in a very special way. The Lord gives him permission. And the Lord gives him permission for his own ends, for his own purposes. All things, they are working together, we read, for the good of the church of God. But how many are the riddles? And how many are their perplexities? Satan, he will be experienced, as the Lord Jesus says he is, the strong man armed, against whom man does not have power. So that was also in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What could the disciples do? What could the disciples do against all the power of the enemy of Christ and his church? When that trouble threatened, when that trouble was coming up, there was nothing that the disciples could do about it. The disciples could not fight against the ecclesiastical powers of the Sanhedrin as the Sanhedrin was plotting its course against the Lord Jesus. No, they only feared them. They only desired to flee from them. The Lord Jesus, he says, when Lazarus was dead, let us go into Judea again. And the disciples, they are so afraid. They say the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And wilt thou go thither again? They had no power against the Pharisees, against the scribes. They had no power against the Roman soldiers. When the Roman soldiers would come and they would take the Lord Jesus, why had they no power? Well, they were weak in comparison, but Peter's zeal, of course, that was so very, very strong. But they were not permitted. They were not allowed. It is not only Satan that can go only so far, but it is also the disciples and the people of the Lord that can go only so far. that people will not save the Lord. No, the Lord is going to save his people. And then that church has to experience that they have no power against the hand of that great enemy that comes against them. They have no power against the voice of a maid. Why not? Because we have no power against the fear of man. They had no power against the voice of that Jewish multitude, the mob, who had cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." What shall the disciples do? Shall they begin to say in the midst of that mob, "No, no, 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 no"? What shall be their voice in the midst of all of that Jewish people? They had no power. They do not have any power. When the Pharisees and the scribes, they will exert their false political influences to Pilate. "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." What a power was in that. What a great power. To make Pilate do as he did. They had no power against the sentence. They had no power against the verdict. They had no power against the carrying out of that sentence. And now, if they had no power then, what power do they have after all this has taken place? The Lord Jesus is dead. The Lord Jesus lies in the grave. It is not only men that they have no power over, but they have no power over death. To overcome death. Oh, the power of death. That is so very strong. What does Solomon say? He says there is no discharge in that war. There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. What a finality that the disciples did experience in these days. It is the finality of death. There is nothing to do about it anymore. Their master is dead. There can be no change in death. Thus, who can now express what those disciples do experience? All their hope and all their expectation is cut off. And the enemy has won. The enemy has been victorious in death. And now they feel so lonely. That is what death brings. Because before they would have gone to the Lord Jesus. But now that is impossible. And that is never going to be anymore. Oh, they cannot understand it. Have they now deceived themselves? After everything that they have experienced in their life, it must be. Cannot be otherwise, because there he lies. And then that enemy, he has power. That enemy, he has power not only on the outside, but that enemy, he has power on the inside, in the life of that people. They cannot give that enemy one answer. when he is pointing out everything that is against them. And in their heart is only perplexity and fear. Doors are locked for the fear of the Jews. Why? Because we will be next. And now they will come after they have arraigned the Lord Jesus. They will come to take us. But now it is in this condition that they are going to experience the power of Christ that is revealed in his resurrection. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. For the fear of whom? That is, for the fear of the angel of the Lord. Can you understand that fear? Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. That was not the Lord himself. That was only his angel. That messenger of the Lord who dwelt continually in the presence of the Lord. Man cannot stand before the holiness and the majesty of God. Man cannot even endure the presence of his holy angels, the keepers. What kind of keepers are they? They're the keepers of death. And those keepers, they become, we read, as dead men. They are men who were symbols of a very great power. Whose soldiers were they? They were the soldiers of the Roman Emperor. They have weapons, children. And when they have those weapons, they have a great power. But they have more than weapons. They have also authority. Because there are persons that have weapons in this world, they have no authority. But there are persons who have weapons, and they also have authority. And they have with them a symbol of that authority. It is a seal. And that stone that has been sealed by this authority. That is, in the name of the highest ruler. And now these were they who we read in God's word. They became as dead men. Dead man has no power. He's dead. Cannot do anything. Cannot even voice his opinion. Cannot speak. Much less do. And so here we have the symbols of the highest powers upon earth in that time. Becoming as dead men. Helpless, powerless, and that before whom? Before the angel of the Lord, before the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that was now all, that would still not be so great. Why? Because what is the strength of man in this world? What is the strength of the greatest, the highest ruler that is in this world? But Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness, spiritual darkness, that is, spiritual wickedness in high places. They are not only the instruments of the devil, but it is the devil. It is the devil himself that needs to be overcome. And what is now the chief power of the devil? Do you remember, children? What is the power of the devil that will be experienced in the life of God's people? What did we talk about? That was, in the first place, temptation. Was the Lord Jesus tempted? And where was Satan's power? Could he tempt the Lord Jesus? He tempts us, and we fall. And he tempted the Lord Jesus, and he could not bring the Lord Jesus to sin. But now we read that that chief power of the devil that is lying in death itself. And there were times when the Lord Jesus was on the earth that he showed his power over the devil. Times when the devil has taken possession of a man, and by a single word, the Lord has cast him out. And that he has shown his power over the works of the devil, that is to bring a man into death. And so the Lord Jesus touched the bier. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And so the Lord Jesus came by the grave of Lazarus and called him to come forth to show his power over Satan and over death. But now, Satan thinks that he has the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his dominion, because he has him in the grave. But now Satan and the instruments of Satan have also heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "In 3 days I shall rise again." They do not just dismiss the words of the Lord Jesus. Do we? Do we just dismiss the words of the Lord Jesus? The enemies of Christ did not dismiss his words. As if it could not happen. No, in their rebellion, they felt something also of the great power of the Lord Jesus. With one word, they have been laying backwards upon the ground. And now there is no peace to the wicked. All there is still fear. There is an inward fear. Amidst all their boasting, amidst all their show of strength, and that stone that is sealed, and there is a watch that is set by them so carefully, everything put in place to prevent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have here, as it were, the great contest is come to its climax. We have the strength of the two kingdoms. They are now come head to head. And then it is as if all of the warriors and all of the soldiers and all the instruments, they are set for a moment to the side. And the prince of darkness, he will grapple. The prince of death will grapple Prince of Life. Who is going to win that contest? What does Paul say? Through death, he has destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. It was impossible to hold him. All hell cannot hold him. If the Lord Jesus had not gone willingly, they could never have brought him there. And if the Lord Jesus will not stay there willingly, they will not be able to keep him there. No, the Lord Jesus has agreed to die. He has agreed to pay that price for sin. And he has finished it in his passive obedience. But he could not remain in that grave. Why not? Because of his active obedience. Because of his keeping of that law. And the keeping of the law, congregation, that has a reward. May you ever experience that in your life, children. The reward. The Lord gives to experience something of that already in a little way in our life. To draw your heart. But here now is the reward for the perfect keeping of that law. What does the Lord say? Do this and thou shalt live. Now we have the proof that that old covenant is in itself still capable. In itself still capable of giving life. It is us, congregation. We have lost the power. Man has become weak through the flesh. But now this is that obedience. This is that obedience that Christ has fulfilled for his church. And this is now the reward. What is the reward? Life. Life from the dead. And therefore now, all the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, they stand powerless in the day of his resurrection. Not only those soldiers, they lay there like dead men. As that angel of the Lord rolls away that stone from the door of the sepulchre. But even the devil, he is powerless. He has to let him go. There is nothing that the devil is able to do now. To hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom God hath raised up, we read. Having loosed the pains of death. Because it is not possible that he should be holding of them. Oh, proof. Proof. That the power of the prince of darkness is broken. Proof that his head is bruised. Because do you think that Satan would have let him go if he could have held him? He has done everything in his power to bring him there. But now we have the proof that that power is broken. And now it is this manifestation, this proof, that is, congregation, the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Of the dead. It is this that is the hope of you and of me. Let us sing first. 59:4-7. Ye everlasting doors, give way. Lift up your heads, ye gates, for now behold to enter in the King of Glory waits. 59:4-7. Congregation, we may in this day commemorate Easter. That is indeed a wonderful story. But what now is the profit for us? What does it mean to us? It has, congregation, to do with death. And what one of us does not have to do with death? There is not one of us that will be exempt from death. We can wish it away. And we do. We put that day so far from us, just like we are going to live forever, but we only fool one person, and that is ourself. And we have heard in this past week, young people, children, how close that we can be, even when we are young. Was a narrow escape, but it is not always an escape. Does not always go in this way. David, he says, there is but one step between me and death. Oh, do we ever think about the day of our death? Is there anything that makes us tremble more than death? Why? Because of what comes after death, and what comes after death, that is the judgment. And so we do not dare to stand before God in judgment. Oh, when that thought comes across our mind, then we begin to fear. Then maybe, children, we just push it away. No, that is not something that I want to think about. Death. Man will give everything, the devil says, that he has in his life. Everything that he has saved for, everything that he has earned all his life long. He will give that if only he does not have to die. Oh, death, what makes a person to feel more helpless and weak than death? Goliath was a strong man, but he succumbed to death. Oh, did you ever stand by a deathbed? Father, mother, brother, sister, child. And how was it? Oh, if you have ever felt helpless in your life, then it was before death. And you have called every doctor. And you have tried every medicine. But finally, you have stood helpless. Because in every struggle, death wins. We may have a reprieve for a little while, but death is always winning. Now there is more, because that death with which you and I have to do, that is not only temporal, it is threefold. It is also spiritual. It is eternal. Spiritual death, that is the way we have been born. Conceived and born in sin. No, that is not recognized, that is not admitted by everyone. But we can try to wish it away. And we can try to act as if it is not so. But it will not help us. What a power. Do you ever feel it? What a power that this death has over us and over our children, so that there is no one that is able to deliver himself from that power of spiritual death. Dead know not anything. We do not even realize it. And we have not even a desire by nature to be delivered from it. And then we, of course, we are privileged. We may be somewhat instructed in that spiritual death under the means of grace in the visible church. And then maybe we feel something of the power that we cannot deliver ourselves, that we cannot break the bands of that death. And that is a fearful thing. Why? Because upon temporal death, the spiritually dead do enter into eternal death and never. No, never to all eternity will a single soul and body be delivered from that eternal death. There is a great gulf fixed. And the power of that death that will be experienced to all eternity, never to be able to deliver ourselves out of that mighty grip of death. Therefore, you understand that that is a place of utter despair. And now, what is one of the great wonders of Easter? It is a testimony. It is a testimony of the great power of Christ over death. In his resurrection from the dead. Thus it is a testimony of the greatness of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over the devil. That the devil is mighty. Oh, we feel that might. Oh, the devil is mighty. But that devil is not almighty. There is yet one who is greater in power. There is yet one who is greater in strength. And that concerning death, with which every one of us, we and our children, have to do. And for fear, we read, even of his angels, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. Paul says he was crucified through weakness, but he was raised through the power of God, and that not concerning a temporal death alone, or that second Adam, by his obedience, he has broken a threefold power of death that was brought about by the disobedience of that first Adam. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What does David say? Our soul is escaped. As a bird out of the snare of the fowler, the snare is broken, and we are escaped. O congregation, will we also escape? If we may be but delivered from spiritual death, Oh, if we may be but quickened from spiritual death, then our temporal death that becomes a passage into eternal life, and then we shall never experience that eternal death. But now it needs to be experienced by every one of us personally, because we can't die for one another. No, we cannot die for one another. That is for each of us, singly, young and old, all by ourselves. So I cannot do anything about it. In one sense, congregation, we say no, that is not true. You can bend your knees. You can read the Word of God. Oh, you can earnestly seek the Lord with all your natural powers. But if we're honest, we don't want to. No, we would rather have all that is perishing. Oh, in another sense, it is true. We cannot do anything. Yes, that is true. Spiritually dead. Cannot lift a single finger. Are not able by nature. That is in the Word of God. That is true. Not able by nature to exert a single spiritual act. Do you feel the power of that death? Do you grieve the power of that death? Do you sigh under it? Do you cry under it? Our spiritual death, that is not yet our despair. Because there is one who can do something. There is one who does have power. And now Easter is that proclamation. And that proclamation that is coming to us every single Sabbath day. Easter, what is it? It is hope for the dead. It is hope, not despair. It is hope for dry bones. It is a proclamation of the might and of the power of Christ over death. It is a proclamation of the resurrection from the dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. No, not hope in the dead, but hope for the dead. For the dead who have to despair of themselves in death. Why? Oh, Easter, Easter, that ought to make us earnest congregation in death. It ought to make us earnest in death, that we would storm that throne of grace, and that the kingdom of heaven would suffer violence, and that the violent may take it by force. Oh, Christ, he is risen. He is risen from the dead. And Paul says he is the first fruits of them that slept. What does it mean? That there will be more. That there is going to be a church that is going to follow him. That is going to be quickened from that spiritual death. Oh, Bunyan's pilgrim, he saw death in that city of destruction. Do you see it too? Do you see death in everything that is here below? And he fled from it. Life. Life, he says. Eternal life. The fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of a new life. A life that shall never, never die. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in all thy truth. O, do give hope for the dead. Thou knowest what we are. O, there are those, Lord, thou knowest, they do despond. And there are those that are discouraged. Even over and over again, then we may read it in thy word, of the wretched misery of fallen man, dead in sins and in trespasses, or without ability, without a will, that will ever return to God. O Lord, remember them in their despondency this day, that the hope of the resurrection of the dead may also be their hope. Look upon us. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us with desire in the midst of the congregation again. In this afternoon hour, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, 6 and 8. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. And thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. And what follows in 6 and 8 to 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.